So without further ado, we've got an amazing message. He's back and he's on 2 feet. Why don't we honour Pastor Kerry?
Good morning, church. Am I on? I am on. Look out. I am on and ready to go this morning because I am just so excited. Look around you. Just take a look around the edges of the church. When you come in here, there are Bible verses. If you can't read those Bible verses, go up to them and read them. And special thanks to Brits and Tanisha and Craig for designing and putting this all up. I mean, Craig and Brits were here the last full days, putting these up. And don't they look spectacular? Brings a bit of colour into the place. This place was founded on God's word and will remain in God's word. Amen? Amen. Well, look, I'm really excited this morning and I just want to, at the back there, you've got a display of array of things, and especially in the entrance. So just don't walk past and walk straight out. Have a look, grab a brochure, but I'll be speaking a little bit about that soon. But this morning, I just want to talk to you this morning about our vision. God's laid it on my heart, probably for the last 6 months, that where I've been praying. So where are we going, Lord? Where are we going? I mean, go right back to when Pastor Fred started building this place. And I remember him saying, I have a vision of 5,000 people. And for years we've had that vision in the back of our minds, 5,000 people. Now, I know God's not into numbers as such. He's into saving souls. But this morning, I'm going to lay out a challenge for each and every one of us in this word. Because I was challenged by it when God gave it to me. So I want you to come with expectant hearts this morning and think about what God's saying to you this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your promises. We thank you, Lord, for all the things that you've done in our lives. Lord, we rejoice in the miracles and the healings that we've seen. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the salvations over the 80 plus years of this church, your church. But Lord, we want more. And Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, every ear will be attentive to what you'd have to say to us this morning in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said,
Amen.
How many of you start out on holidays or outings without any idea of what your destination is going to be? See a few elbows going. Well, last November, I decided, because I knew what I was going to be preaching on, decided to do a little experiment. I'm lying. It was my birthday. And I said to the kids and Sally, I said, hop in the car, we're going out for dinner. And they all got excited. And we all jumped in the car and we started to drive from Darlington down the hill. And then we started going down Great Eastern Highway, through Midland, and then through Belmont. And then one of the kids decided to ask, where are we going, Dad? And I said, I don't know. We're going out for dinner. Yeah, but where are we going, Dad? I don't know. This was 7 o'clock. They're getting hungry. So all of a sudden, there was a frustration. By the time we got to down near Vic Park, I decided at Burswood, and we went and found a little restaurant. But that took about 40 minutes. There was frustration. But when we hopped out of the car, there was peace in the car. It was my birthday. I could exasperate anyone I wanted. But however, when one goes on holidays, if you're like me, not only do you know where you're going, but you get online, don't we? We get online and we Google Maps. We use Google Maps. And we print out turn-by-turn instructions. Now, I want to know where I'm going and how long the trip is going to take. And I want to make sure that I've got all my reservations and each campsite all booked. Every day I'll get there, bang, we're going to take, it takes 800 Ks, it's going to take 8 hours, 6 hours if Sally's driving, and we will get there. It takes away the frustration and angst while on your journey, doesn't it? Well, the same is true in many areas of life. You set a goal, map out on your You set a goal, map out your path that you must take to reach it, and keep following it until your goal is accomplished. Similar when we make a New Year's resolution, our goals have to have markers to celebrate each stage. If you don't, you will fail. It's like me saying, Lord, this year I'm going to lose 10 kilos. Probably some of you are saying he needs to lose more than 10 kilos. But if I start out saying, right, I'm going to lose 10 kilos, and I look at the 10 kilo goal, guess what's going to happen? I'm never going to make it. But if I give myself little goals to get to that goal, like I'll celebrate when I lose 1 kilo with an ice cream, and then I celebrate another one and another one. We will get there, won't we? So many people, New Year's resolutions fall flat because you don't give yourself little achievement goals and celebrate all the little achievements to get to that goal. Who here this morning had a New Year's resolution that they were going to do? Have you got little goals to get there? And you're going to celebrate those little goals as you get there. I encourage you to do that. Okay. You know, we do some great things when we're going around in circles, don't we? We need to break out of that cycle and begin heading in a certain specific direction. And the reason we need to do that is because God has a lot of things that He wants us to accomplish that won't be accomplished until we know where we're going. So with that in mind, let's take a look at five things that we can say about where we're going as a church for 2017 and beyond. Sorry, just adjust that. In your outlines this morning, you've got your outlines, just fill it in as we go. Number one, we are heading toward the harvest. We are heading toward the harvest. Now, I'm not a farmer, nor am I a son of a farmer. I mean, if you want to know anything about farming, you're going to speak to Bill Crabtree here. But I do know that when you plant a crop, you do so with the purpose in mind of being able to harvest it. You can imagine putting all the effort into ploughing the field and planting the seed and fertilising the ground and watering the ground and everything else that goes into it, and then never harvesting. For the most part, that is what churches of today are doing with the spiritual harvest. God has planted a desire in the hearts of the people to know Him. And many of those people are just waiting for someone to harvest them by letting them know how to come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus puts it this way with His disciples in John chapter 4, verse 35 and 36. Do you think the work of harvesting will not begin until the summer ends 4 months from now? But back in those days, they used to think, oh, yep, we've planted, we've seeded, so in 4 months' time, we're going to reap a harvest. So we'll just all sit back, like all the farmers do, don't they? There's a time when they just all sit back and go on holidays and, you know, eat avocados and drink cups of tea and work hard. But he says, look around you. Vast fields are ripening all around us and ready now for the harvest. The harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. What joy! What joy awaits both the planter and the harvester. It is time for us to begin viewing the world around us as a field of people who are ripe for the picking. They are in need of harvesting, and we have been commissioned by none other, Jesus Christ himself, to be his harvesting crew. Now that's exciting. Our roadmap as a church is defined by the harvest. We are headed in the direction that Jesus has told us to go. And he promises us that it won't be a waste of time. The fields are ripe and ready. Some of you probably wondered what I did with this basket of people. Who remembers this? 2 years ago it was. 2 years ago, I asked you to fill out and put people on here who you were going to invite to church. Who, can you just raise your hand? If you have been invited to come to this church in the last 2 years, can you raise your hand? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. In 2017, we're going to get serious. God wants us to invite. God wants us to let people know of the love of Christ. This leadership of this church is taking Jesus' instructions very seriously. We're not playing church. We're going to be church even more. Over there, we've got a sign up on the side stage there. It says, "We will never change the world by going to church. We will only change the world by what? By being church." Here at Hillside, we are committed to transformation in Jesus' name. That is our vision. It's been our vision for 2 or 3 years, and it's going to continue to be our vision. We are committed to transformation in Jesus' name. Look on your seats. You've been given a little booklet. This here supersedes our little black book that we used to have. This here can go into your Bible. So when anyone ever asks what Hillside's about, you can pull this out and you can just go through it. Yes, there's a lot of, it's very wordy, but we've condensed that booklet into this, and I encourage you to read it. Consider our mission statement. In love, we bring hope to the world through faith in Jesus' name. Some of you may ask, well, who's the world? Well, the world is unchurched people. The unchurched people we will harvest. Our three pillars are faith, hope, and love. And in your time, I want you to read what these three pillars are, what they stand for. Faith, hope, and love. I'm not going to go through it with you now, but I want you to go through it to understand what Hillside Church, your church, God's church is all about. Everything that we do as a church should be built upon the foundation of our vision and our mission. In other words, if something we're doing does not help us to fulfill our purpose, it is something we should be, or something we should be spending our time and effort on. Our resources, time and energy and prayer needs to be poured into turning unchurched people into fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ, equipping them to reach their full potential in him. That is what we are here about at this church. And that is what we will accomplish. I honestly don't know anything more exciting than that. We will be preaching Jesus in every way we can for everyone to understand. And if you want to go real deep, that's when you get involved in the Connect groups and or even Bible college. But here we will preach Jesus so that everyone can understand. Here at Hillside, we will promise that Jesus will be the center of every message preached from this pulpit. And opportunities will be given to respond to God's word regularly. You know, I find it hard to believe that some churches never have altar calls. Just last month, I visited a church that had an awesome testimony, an awesome salvation message. It was so exciting, but there was no opportunity for people to respond. Here at Hillside, there will always be opportunity to respond. After the service, if there isn't an altar call, then what you do when you're out the back having a cup of coffee with someone, you ask them the question. You say, what did you think about the message? And if I was preaching and they say it was really good, that's great. But then just ask them another simple question of, do you want to know more about what he was or she was preaching on? Simple questions. Never leave it up to the preacher. Never leave it up to the preacher. We've all got a job to do here at Hillside. Number two, we're gathering like-minded people. I remember the first time we got chickens. That's right, chickens. I never had chickens, but Sally wanted them to get eggs, and she thought it would be a great thing to do as a family and the kids. So I built a chicken shed with a chicken run, and we bought some old chickens, some old battery chickens, and away we went. Well, after a few months, I got sick and tired of looking after these chickens, sometimes having to cut the heads off them because the foxes had chewed a bit on them. I know, and you know me, I'm not a, but as a dad, I had to do it. Not only that, I had to collect the eggs that were dirty with mud and chicken poo on them. Now, I remember going to Sally after a few months going, Sally, you know those pooey chicken eggs that we get? Did you know that you can buy them clean at the supermarket? Who likes supermarket eggs? Yeah. I quickly picked up on the fact that harvesting is hard work, and not everybody wants to get involved, especially when they know what work it entails. The tragedy is that many of the people in our church today share in the same work ethic. They want to enjoy all the activities. They want to enjoy all the programs and the times of worship, but many don't want to get their hands dirty by actually going out into the harvest fields. And do you know why? Do you know why? Because we're selfish at heart. Because doing what Jesus has called us to do is sometimes hard work. It's going to cause us some stress. It's going to take time. There's going to be moments of heartbreak, which I don't want. At times we want to give up, like I did. It may even take our eyes off the phone and onto a human being. But we need to realize and embrace the fact that when the harvest comes in, and when we see people who are formerly far away from God coming into the peace and security offered to them by Jesus Christ, we'll understand that the effort was well worth it. Nothing is more exciting than pointing someone into the direction of Jesus Christ. Nothing is more exciting than seeing someone's life transformed. Nothing is more exciting than seeing someone's life totally changed. Nothing is more exciting than seeing a smile on someone's face that hasn't smiled in years. Why? Because they have been shown the love of Jesus Christ. By who? By you. Nothing as exciting as that. Billy Graham once said, every generation is strategic. We're not responsible for the past generation, and we cannot bear full responsibility for the next one. But we do have our generation. God will hold us responsible as how well we will fulfill our responsibilities to this age and take advantage of our opportunities. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 and 38, it says, the harvest is so great, but the workers are so few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send out more workers for his field. Pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that we will never have to get up on this pulpit and ask for helpers for Children's Church. Heavenly Father, I pray that I will never have to get up on this pulpit and ask for volunteers in your church. I pray, Lord, that you give each and every one of us a revelation of our purpose in your church. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. On the one hand, we're seeking to harvest the unchurched. On the other hand, we're praying for more people who are already Christians who will help us in the fields of harvest. That is and has been my prayer for this year. As I just prayed, it does. It confuses me. Actually, it upsets me that when I get one of our younger pastors coming to me and saying, oh, we just haven't got enough helpers. I say, really? Oh, can we do a big announcement in church and ask for more helpers? Really? I suppose if you don't know, then... So no matter where you are right now in your personal life, you are wanted and needed by God and his church. You can help God to fulfill Hillside's purpose by becoming one with us in the work of the kingdom of God. We're not just asking people to sign up for a social club, but to join us in the most important and exciting task that has ever been given or needed in this world today. Which brings us to number three. We're sharing words of grace. As we go into the harvest fields of 2017, we need to have something to tell our friends. We need to have something to tell our neighbours. We need to have something to tell our associates and our acquaintances. We need to have the words of grace that will let them know that God loves them, know, and that they matter to them. And that the message of the following statement. Just imagine if you were asked at work tomorrow. What did you do tomorrow, Fred? Oh, I went to church. Fantastic. Oh, what did you learn at church, Fred? Look what Ephesians 2:4-5 says. You could be something as simple as this. Well, I learned that God is so rich in mercy. Uh-huh. And he loved us so very much. Ah, wow. And that even while we were dead because of our sins, and they'll get them. They'll get their attention. Wouldn't it? Can you imagine going into your work colleagues and saying this? God is so rich in mercy and he loves us so very much that even while we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. Could you imagine the look on their faces? Oh. It is only by God's special favour that you have been saved. Our job is to tell other people that God loves them and that if they will simply repent and of their rebellion against Jesus Christ and accept his gift of salvation through Jesus, they will be in a relationship with him forever and ever and ever. Amen. Now, let me share you two important truth statements. Now, I've got these made up for you. You've all got one on your seat, and if there's a seat that's spare, grab it. It's a bookmark. Grab them all. On this bookmark, on one side, it's Hillside Church, committed to transformation in Jesus' name. It's got all our details. But on the other side, there are two truth statements. You can put these up on your fridge. You can put them in your book, in your Bible, whatever, books, whatever. But there's two truth statements that I really want us all to understand this year. The first one is, you will never meet anyone who is not the object of God's love and concern. Never. The other truth statement is, you will never meet anyone who does not need what you have in Jesus Christ. That is a gift from me to you. Two truth statements. You will never meet anyone who is not an object of God's love and concern. If we keep those two statements in mind, when we leave our house in the morning, when we go to the shops, when we walk through our community, or we go to work, we will soon begin to see the world through the eyes of Jesus Christ. And when we begin to see people in this way, we will find ways to share them the words of grace that God shared with us. If we don't, who will? If we don't, who will? Romans 10, 13 to 15. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I love that. We all know that verse, don't we? But look what happens afterwards. But how can they call him to save them unless they believe in him? How can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is what the scriptures mean when they say, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. New Year's Day, Pastor Cobb preached a really good word. And at the end of it, I anointed everyone's feet in oil. Remember that? Everyone came up and I anointed their feet. Up until that stage, I've always had a phobia of feet. True. I hate feet. When I'm lying on the sofa and the kids put their feet on, I go, whack, their feet. That day when I sat down here and I anointed everyone's feet, at the start I was scared. Honestly, I'm telling you know what I was like. But you know what? Every foot that I anointed was beautiful. And that was God showing me that there are beautiful feet in the house of God. There are beautiful feet at Hillside. As we map out our direction as a church, we need to know that each of us is willing to be that person who gives that message of grace. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And that will only happen when you and I make the commitment to be that person who will tell them the good news of God's grace. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. My job as the senior pastor of this church, this year and beyond, is to equip the saints. Guess who the saints are? You. I was in Busselton during the holidays and down there for a week, and I was speaking to someone and they said, "Oh yeah, the church that we go to, the pastor's not very good." I said, "Really? Which church?" He mentioned the church and I went, "Wow, I know that guy. He's brilliant." He goes, No, the church hasn't grown. The church hasn't grown at all. In his 5 years he's been at the church, it hasn't grown at all. I went, "Wow." And what are his messages like? "Oh, his messages are awesome." That's what the guy said. I said, "Wow, it's a bit like Hillside." People think it's up to the pastor to go out, round up lost sheep and bring them into the church. I said to him, I said, "That's not the pastor's job. The pastor's job is to give you dynamic, understanding messages to equip you to go out and round up the lost and bring them in." That's why I'm so excited that God has shown me that this year Jesus will be preached in a way that everyone understands, and you will be able to use the word and go out, round up the lost sheep and bring them in. When I took over this place 3 years ago, I said, "I want this place to grow through unchurched people. I want to see salvations. I want to see that vision that Pastor Fred had of 5,000 people." Scares me because it means I have to get my hands dirty. It scares me because I know I'm going to have to work harder. It scares me because I know I'm going to have to do two or three services on a Sunday if we get to that level. It scares me because I know I'm going to have to build a bigger auditorium. But you know what? It's not me, me, me. It's him, him, him.
Yeah. Yeah.
He will build his church through you. Amen? Okay. Number four, we're fighting a spiritual battle. And I want you to listen to this. In all of this, we need to be well aware that there is a spiritual enemy who is fighting against our efforts and who does not want us to see the harvest come in. Ephesians 6, verse 12 to 13 says, "We are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against the evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against those mighty powers of darkness who rule this world, and against wicked spirits in the heavenly realms. Use every piece of God's armor to resist the enemy in the same time of evil, in the time of evil, so that after the battle, you will still be standing firm." Why do you think that when you tell someone about Jesus, you get scared? Why do you think that when your friends aren't normally thrilled when you start talking about words of God's grace? Why do you think the church as a whole hasn't made a more of an inroad into the world of the unchurched? It's because we have an enemy who is more, oftentimes, more concerned with the direction than we are with ours. Let me say that again. It's because we have an enemy who is oftentimes more concerned with his direction than we are with ours. That's it. We have to be well aware that Satan is scheming and working against us every moment of every day. 1 Peter 5:8 and 9 says, "Be careful, watch out for the attacks from the devil, your great enemy. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for some victim to devour. Take a firm stand against him and be strong in your faith." This isn't something to be paranoid about, but it's something to be aware of. Every day we must be cognizant of the fact that there is a supernatural force trying to stop our efforts, and we need to come against that force with the power and the faith and the power of prayer. That's what we need to do. You know, this church is a praying church. I don't know if you are, but this church is. There's a prayer meeting run by a few of the elders here every morning at 6 o'clock in the morning during the week. This house is a house of prayer and will remain so. Every Monday we have a corporate prayer evening. And that's so exciting. Are you a prayer? Number 5, we are being led by God's Spirit. Here at Hillside, we are led by God's Spirit. Some years ago when I was 20 and I was working up for a diamond company called De Beers Diamonds up north, up in the Mitchell Plateau. It was a prospecting team. We were looking for new diamond mines. Every morning we'd jump in a helicopter and we'd go working in the riverbeds, collecting samples. Our pilot, his nickname was Nuts. That's his nickname. Nuts. "Hey, Nuts, are we going up this morning?"
"Yep."
He was nicknamed Nuts because he was crazy. Nuts had 40 years' experience as a pilot, and he flew over all the world and faced every possible condition. He actually flew helicopters in the Vietnam War. That's why I think he's a bit nuts. I remember one day on our trip journey back home, back to the camp, our helicopter began to shake, and the engine started to cough a little bit and started to lose power. As I looked down from the altitude from around about 500 feet, terror actually gripped me. I was a young 20-year-old young man. So, I was, you know what young 20-year-olds are like. Nothing can shake them. We're strong, and I was scared, okay? I felt an incredible urge to do something. But there was nothing I could do. I had no experience in flying or landing or fixing the machine. I remember looking at Nuts at the controls, and he was utterly calm as he adjusted knobs and switches and continued to pilot the helicopter into a safe landing. We had to land in a river creek bed, and the rear rotor, he had to trim some of the trees as he came down. He was nuts. If anyone know about helicopter, if you make a big dent in that rotor, you're just gonna go. But as he came down, he clipped some of the trees so he could land safely, and he had to do it pretty quickly. But he did it all, and there was 4 of us in the helicopter. And I tell you what, we were collecting samples from the riverbeds. There were a few samples elsewhere as well. It was scary. I had no control. No control. But there are times in my life when I desperately want to grab hold of the control. My experience in the helicopter reminds me that if I take control, I will ruin or destroy my life. At those moments, I must resist the urge and trust the one who has seen it all before, the one who knows what he is doing. And what a great lesson for us all as we travel on our spiritual journey together here at Hillside for 2007 and beyond. Many times when I say yes to God's purpose as a church, we are heading for uncharted waters. We know that being obedient to the Lord often leads up in a little bit of turmoil or can be disappointment or sometimes a bit of persecution. Yet we commit ourselves and stick to Him no matter what, because we know that God is the pilot and He knows where He is going and He knows where He is leading us. Amen. I love what Romans 18:4 says. For we are led by the Spirit of God. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. We must be open to ourselves, to the Spirit's leading as we walk down the path that God has sent us on. And when we do that, we will find comfort, we will find strength in knowing that He will lead us to the places we need to go and to the people that we need to meet, those divine appointments. What it really comes down to is a matter of trust. Do we believe that God is really God? Do we believe that He knows what He's doing? If my answer is yes, I will follow His direction for my life and for my church. If my answer is no, I will find myself heading in another direction. You know, all over the world there are churches that have signals and signs and visual images like crosses and paintings and stained glasses and amazing buildings that all have spiritual significance. People are not strangers to these images, but apparently are blind to the image's spiritual significance. Many people have ignored symbols pointing to God. Virtually every town in Australia has a church topped with a cross, with people driving past every day. How many people who see the cross each day stop and to consider what it really means? I wonder. I'd say not very many, not very, very many at all. You know, but the people who pass by are not to blame, because they need something more than a symbol to lead them to Christ. A symbol will not lead anyone to Christ. You know what they need? They need you. They need you. They need you. 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 They need all of us. They need me to tell them about the love of Jesus Christ. A church building is not going to lead people to Christ. You are. And when we do that, we will be following the direction that God has mapped out for us and Him as a church. My hope and prayer that this year that you will be willing to be part of a team as we move into the will and wonder of following an amazing God. Get involved in the harvest. How? What is Hillside doing? Well, you came on a good day, because we've got some exciting things happening in 2017. I remember that passage that we used many, many years ago in an Horizon build, and it came from the Message, 2 Corinthians. It said, I suggest that you finish what you've started a year ago. Oops. For you were the first to propose this idea, and you were the first to begin doing something about it. Now you should carry this project through to its completion just as enthusiastically as you began it. Give whatever you can according to what you have. But if you're really eager to give, it isn't important how much you're able to give. God wants you to give what you have, not what you don't have. I love that. So as you came in this morning, you've probably seen a little bit more work being done on the colonnade. That Kevin Burgoyne, people have been saying, how come it's taking so long? Do you know why it's taking so long? Because one person in this church is doing it. That's Kevin Burgoyne. He's doing it in between all his other jobs. He wants to do it because he loves what the church is doing here. That's going to be completed. Next slide. This here is the chapel. This chapel has been a vision of the church for many, many years. And following that will be the big auditorium. But down here is the well. Okay, down here is the well. So we're going to have the colonnade going all the way up to the roundabout up there. And we're going to have a 125, 130-seat chapel. And this is going to be used for the village, for our community, for the school. There's going to be, we're going to have weddings there, funerals. The Tabor Bible College will use it as a lecture room. We're putting the shovel in the soil this year to start the chapel. That's something really exciting for this place and for this community. You know, we see and hear of communities shutting down old chapels. We're building them. And we'll be able to have hymns we love in there, in a chapel setting. This is going to be used by this community. The village will be starting to build 21 new units. I know a few of you in here are going, hurry up. 21 new units. If you go down here, you'll see the beautiful stone wall that's been put up there, and the fencing done by Nathan Hendry. And we're using our own people, our own tradespeople to do this. That's exciting. And there's going to be times when you as a church, we have a busy bee where we can do things to help. This is what it's going to look like, the village. That's going to be the new entrance. It's exciting times. And that's going to happen this year. That's already happened, really. The driveway just got finished. Actually, the amazing thing is they put the bitumen driveway in this last week, and usually this time of year there's no rain. So you can't check if the contractor's done a good job for puddling. Well, the day he finished, bang, there was rain. And guess what? No puddling. Praise the Lord. This is the school. This is the school property. Okay, this is growing and growing. This here is the new building, the new science building. We don't have actually an actual picture. Can we have the next one? Well, this is it, two classrooms. This is a state-of-the-art science block for the high school. I mean, we just heard Joel. Joel went through Hillside College and then on to university. I mean, you would have loved to have had this when you were there, wouldn't you? But, hey, guess what? You're part of the foundation that led to this. Huh? Be proud. So it's exciting, things are happening. The next slide. We've got Hillside Kids. We've got Stacey and the team there that are doing an amazing job. You know what? Stacey and the kids, they will always be committed to teaching our children the Bible. And as you've noticed, they'll be bringing home memory verses. So by the end of the year, your children will probably know more memory verses than what you may do. Now, there's a challenge. Breakout Youth Ministry. Mark and the team will continue to disciple young people in our church and community on Friday nights and what Monday afternoons with Connect Group. Wednesday, yeah. Monday and Wednesdays. our young adults ministry. Our young adults ministry, Lizzie and Tobin and Chrissy and Ben are helping out. They'll keep growing in relationships and disciple with our young adults. Our women's ministry, called for a purpose. You have a cup of tea, hun? Nah, I'm only joking. Oh, bent my leg. Did you do that? No, she's been getting me cups of tea for the last 5 weeks, and I tell you what, she's an amazing woman. But this is the women's ministry do. The women's ministry here at the church, they if you're doing it tough, they'll make a meal. You women are amazing. Thank you. Connect groups. Oh, men's ministry. Next one, men's ministry. Yay, men's ministry. Yay. Right. Last year, we hardly didn't have anything for the men. But this year, we've got a group of guys that have come to me and said, Kerry, we want to take on men's ministry. And I said, great. So if you want to get involved in the men's ministry here at Hillside, come and see me and I can put you on to the people that want to get involved. It's going to be exciting times. We're going to start building up like the women have done in the last couple of years. We're going to start building the men up. Amen? Okay, next one. Connect groups. Pastor Kyla runs a great group of connect groups in this church. But fortunately, she's going away at the end of February, end of this month, for having a baby. So she's on maternity leave. So Chrissy Sleet will be taking over that. But we nearly have 20 groups, 20 connect groups within the church. That's really exciting. The next one, the worship team. Well, didn't they do a great job this morning? And don't they do a great job? Kay just does it in her team. They come here every Tuesday night now, every Tuesday night to practice and to worship so that we can enjoy it on Sundays. If you want to get involved in that, you can get involved there. Create ministries. We've heard before, Pastor Chrissy is taking on Create. So Easter and Christmas time, there's going to be great productions that you'll be able to enjoy. Now, if you're a thespian, or you want to be a thespian or a singer, go and see Chrissy. I know there's a lot of thespians there because I know there's a lot of drama queens, a lot of people that love drama. I'm one of them. So join up. We've got service in the next one. Oh, global missions. Wow. You know, it's exciting that we've got James and Nat coming back and Isabel tag teaming, and Tim and Claudia are now taking off to Thailand. It's exciting times. If you go out, into the entrance, you'll see our global mission stand there on the wall. Have a good look at it. And look at the people that we support, you support as a church. Okay, next one. We've got service hosts, we've got welcome team members, World Cafe people, we've got the people that do the communion, we've got prayer groups. The next, cleaning. If you want to help out in cleaning, we've got one guy here that does all the cleaning and he does it as a volunteer. John, I don't know where you are, John, but he was here. He's probably out in the well. Getting coffee ready for you. Cleaning, audio, media, visual, flowers. There's so much to do in this church to be a part of. Next, Hillside Church. We're starting an evening service on the 7th of May. We're going to go from 5 p.m. till 6:30. But this is the part of our growth that we're going to be seeing as a church. I'm excited what God is doing in this place. On our campus, some of you people don't probably realize, but on our campus, next slide. These are the things that we've got going. We've got Hillside church community outreach. Between three outlets in Perth, we move about 26 tonne of food a week. We're not up to that yet, doing that volume yet, but we've got volunteers that come in on a Tuesday and Thursday that give to the needy, not the poor, but to the needy. And we've got people coming in to this place. And if you are in need of food, anyone is in need of food, please come and grab some, because if we don't get rid of it, we have to throw it out. It's great. It's operating out the back here, Tuesdays and Thursdays. It's we're being church. This is part of being church in our community. Woolridge Country Estate. We've got over 140 units behind us. It's all on our property that we run. And that is another part of our community that we're sowing into. You know, some people sometimes ask me, oh, what does our church do in the community? What are we doing? Oh, my goodness. What aren't we doing? Residents, put your hand up that are here. Wow. I want that to grow, the numbers. Okay, next. Hillside Christian College. As you just heard, we're just building a new science block over there. What are we doing in our community? We're getting kids from our community and preaching Jesus Christ into them, who take them into the households of their parents. Next one, The Well Cafe. Eddie at The Well. Some of you may not know, but The Well is open from Monday to Friday for lunches and for dinners. It's part of the hub that we've got going here. And there'll be stands. There's stands up the back there with prospectuses for the school. There's information about the Hillside Church Community Outreach, and there's also information, little booklets for the Woolridge Village. Please take one. Next is Tabor. We've got Tabor Bible College here on our campus as well. And out the back, as you go into the entrance there, there will be a stand with all the prospectuses and all the different courses that you can do, from masters down to advanced diplomas to bachelor degrees, all here on our campus. This is happening. We've got Youth for Christ in our offices, Youth for Christ WA. They shut down their big operation in Welshpool and they've moved into our office space here. We're renting them out too. So always doing things here at Hillside. Our elders, I've got to mention these guys. Can they stand up? Kay, David Bonanno, Lance, Devon, stand up. These are the elders. Lance is over there. Devon. Kay is out the back. Was David out the back feeding? These people here are the elders of this church. They help run. They help me run this place. Some pastors would run a mile if they knew they had to oversee all this. But I tell you what, we've got a great team of people. Starting from the bottom. Myself, the elders, the pastoral team, and then you guys. And that's how this church is operated on. We will serve and serve and serve and serve. Amen. And the next slide. I love my church. I'm excited for 2017 and beyond. And I hope you are too. I'm not sorry for taking so much time. It's only 15:15. Your bookmarks. Use them. You know, the funny thing is that I want you to use these as memory verses. Just this week, I had a group of people here and I said to them, what is our vision for the church? And they said the wrong thing about 8-9 times, that kept having a go at it.
Our vision of our church is what? Excellent. If we don't know our vision, we don't know where we're going. If we don't know our mission, we don't know where we're going. Today, you are without excuse. You know where you're going. Amen?
Amen.
I'm not going to ask the worship team to come up, but I want to... No, it's okay. You have a break, the team. But on behalf of Sally and I just want to thank you, the church, for being church, not playing church. And I really look forward to, Sally and I really look forward to 2017 and seeing this place rattle and hum. And I believe with all my heart that this place will grow as you go. Understand? This place will grow as you go. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as this morning you have given to us what you would like us to do, Lord, I pray that each and every one of us will take hold of your word, of your purpose, and of your instruction. And Lord, no matter what area you want us to be involved in, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will guide us through your Holy Spirit. You will lead us to the right place. And Lord, I pray as we do things for you and your church, Lord, that we will have joy, abundant joy and blessings doing it. So, Lord, I lift up again our community of Forest Field. Lord, I lift up businesses. I lift up all the schools. And Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, lead us. Give us divine pathways. Give us divine appointments into these places. And help us to be bold to reach the lost. Lord, your desire is that none shall perish. And Lord, it's not the building, it's not the brickwork, it's not the windows that's going to transform people. It's us. So I pray, Holy Spirit, use us mightily in 2017 and beyond. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. And we all said... Amen.